What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action, boosting historic business districts with gamification. Now, before we begin, we need to address the elephant in the room. What the heck is gamification? How does it benefit our historic business districts? And the most pressing question, do I have to wear one of those RoboCop-looking headsets? This episode's guest, Darren Smith, founder, president, and CEO of TRAIPS, a gamification platform for historic business districts, best defines the term by sharing a story of its application, a story that's easy to envision playing out in your own historic business district as well. It goes like this. You visit a historic business district as a local, as a tourist, doesn't matter, and headset free through an app on your phone, take a physical tour of a historic business district where you discover historic buildings, monuments, a piece of public art, or independent locally owned businesses. And here's the best part. With each new discovery, you solve a related puzzle or complete a challenge, turning what was once an aimless stroll into an engaging adventure. In this episode, you'll learn how your own historic business district could get a boost from gamification, including how to use gamification to boost tourism, get more traffic from merchants, and most important, make your historic business district the destination it deserves to be. Enjoy. Hey there, Darren. How's it going?
Hello. Good. How are you, Jacob?
Doing good. Doing good. How's life in Washington, D.C.?
We are finally experiencing what is actually good fall weather.
What does that feel like?
Well, it's the first year that I have gone from having air conditioner. We have window unit air conditioners in our house, and we both ran those and the radiator furnace in the same week. And I thought we were going to just miss out on fall altogether, but it's actually like we're getting those days where it's like highs in the upper 60s, lows in the lower 50s, and yeah,
nice,
sunny, and so yeah.
Good days to get out on your feet and explore your historic business districts, which we're going to hit more about here in a little bit. So Darren, I'm just overjoyed to have you on the podcast. We have a great action to cover together, and that is boosting historic business districts with gamification. And listeners, before you get too deterred by that term gamification, we have an expert here who's going to really break it down for us, make the term very accessible to us newbies to the term, and really share some great benefits of why our historic business districts should be paying attention to gamification. And Darren, I think the best way to help people understand gamification in relation to historic business districts is to hear about your company, TRAIPS. Can you tell us more about what TRAIPS is doing for historic business districts today?
Sure. So we developed an app that has kind of multiple destinations in it. And our focus is on working with historic business districts. And that could be local tourism agencies and downtown business development associations or combinations of the two, to develop kind of self-guided gamified tour content. And what that means is people can pull up our app and they can explore a historic business district with one of our tours. And the tours are a series of stops, and a stop could be a historic building, it could be a monument, it could be a piece of public art, or it could be an independent locally owned business. And at each stop you go to, there is a puzzle to solve or a challenge to complete. And it's something that requires you to be there in order to figure out. So usually it has to do with something on a sign or something like that. After you finish the challenge, and you can take hints if you need to. But often then, if the challenge is at a business, you receive a discount or something like that for a challenge.
Yeah, and I love how it like kind of complements education with patronizing local businesses too. It sounds much more enjoyable than catching Pokemon in our downtowns. A much more enjoyable form of gamification.
We like to think so.
Well, Darren, I was reading the timeline that you kindly sent me couple of days ago, and it mentioned that in April 2014, you visited Stanton, Virginia, and decided that its historic business district would be the best test market to try out traipse. Why was that? What were the characteristics of Stanton's historic business district that listeners are likely seeing in their own historic business districts that pointed it as a good place to test out if gamification could work?
Sure. So I'm actually going to back up just a little bit to November of 2013, which was the very first time I visited Stanton. And I visited at that point on my honeymoon. My wife and I, we have a pair of friends who I actually went to urban planning graduate school with at Virginia Tech. And they had bought a historic home in downtown Stanton and encouraged us to look at it as a place to have a quick getaway. Then in April of 2014, I took a trip down to visit them on my own when my wife was traveling and went with them to a meeting held at an organization called the Stanton Creative Community Fund, which is just a local regional economic development nonprofit that has been doing a lot of really great, innovative, strong townish things. And that particular meeting was about the local food economy and things that people could do to sort of promote that kind of self-sustaining local food economy, farm to table sort of thing. And at that meeting, it was one of those things where everybody, you know, you go around the room and introduce yourself and talk about what you're working on. And I had already quit my previous job to start up traipse, but had been planning to start it in Washington, D.C. And I told people there about it. And I had at least a half dozen people come up to me after that meeting was over and say, no, you have to do that here. This is the perfect place for it. And so I started talking to, you know, the local tourism officials, economic development people, the Downtown Development Association. And everyone was really excited to try something new and to see if this could work. And in particular, in downtown Stanton, there's a great mix of businesses. There are, you know, if there's anything it's lacking, it's probably lacking, as a lot of these types of tourist-oriented downtowns are, it's lacking services. It doesn't have a dry cleaner. It does have a pretty good grocery store. You know, it has cafes. It has a lot of stuff that a downtown needs to really have that day-night activity. But it also just has a lot of younger business owners who, you know, were attracted to Stanton by its kind of physical beauty. It's in the Shenandoah Valley. It's a lovely place. The cost of living in relation to, you know, Charlottesville, which is just a little over half an hour away, and DC obviously is much more reasonable. And so it's been a place where young people with an idea, an entrepreneurial idea, can be and really try. And most of those have been, you know, traditional brick and mortar retail businesses, but there's a growing kind of entrepreneurial spirit there for other things, like the kind of thing we're doing.
I love that, Darren. And that's what gets me most excited about traipse, is that it's showing love to these, what people call like second tier cities, especially for like my generation, the millennials. Usually we're more attracted to these sexy cities, you know, like the LA, the New York, the San Francisco. But exactly what you said, there's this shift happening where more millennials, more entrepreneurial folk are moving to these second tier cities because they can test out ideas. It's a much more approachable community. Where does traipse fit into that, of fostering these young people that want to try out new ideas and contribute to the innovation that's happening in historic business districts?
Yeah, well, I would say the biggest thing that we're trying to do at traipse is tell those stories. And that sounds kind of trite these days. Everybody's a storyteller. But we're trying to help people understand the things about these places that are special and unique and make them more livable. And I know we can go a long ways in talking about how that's defined. But you know, making them function as economies and as communities. So what traipse does is aim to get people to both explore and appreciate their locally owned independent businesses, but also to appreciate things that they may not have noticed before about the place that they live, or even the tourists, the place that they're visiting, to see that kind of extra layer of history, of creativity, and really come to appreciate why those are places that we need to support and preserve and enhance, as opposed to more cookie cutter type places.
Yeah, and it totally fosters that sense of place as well. It's in those historic business districts where you find that little boutique shop or that little cupcake place, and with a couple of visits, maybe discovered it for the first time through traipse. That's what makes you truly like love where you live. And it's so cool that there's now a platform to really bridge that gap between maybe being a newbie and finding a way to get involved in your community, or maybe being a longtime resident of Stanton, Denton, wherever these second tier cities are, to get more involved. Darren, are there any other elements of gamification that these historic business districts can try out as traipse continues to grow and expand into more cities? Anything they can do to prepare for y'all's expansion?
Well, and I will say, you know, we're not the only ones doing gamification. We in kind of urban environments, we are the only ones who are doing this kind of direct work with local agencies and organizations to tell the stories that they want to tell, and doing it in a way that is then free for users. And that's a tough model. it's not a fast growth model, but you know, that we think is providing the highest quality experience and really accomplishing those sort of social benefit goals alongside. The biggest thing that I would say makes a place ripe for traipse, aside from just the characteristics of, you know, having a historic walkable business district, is that there is something of a community of local merchants that communicates with each other and has some kind of, there's some centralized way of reaching them to get their engagement with this. And then also, along with that, is some kind of resource for historical information and imagery. We're trying to be both a content creator and a platform. And we would love to sort of gradually shift more to being a platform for other people's content, just because that enables us to reach more places more quickly. For now, you know, it involves us compiling that information, figuring out, you know, what the themes might be, what the appropriate narrative frame might be for an interesting tour, and then actually walking around and figuring out what it is that is of interest and coming up with puzzles everywhere. And there's an art to that, but it's not, you know, it's not like we're the only ones who can do it. And especially if people are using our app and coming to see, you know, what's a traipse puzzle look like, we're confident that they can submit content and help build up kind of a database of traipse stops that then can just grow from there. And we have various plans of incentivizing that sort of contribution and engagement with traipse. And, you know, we can get into that.
I love it. So listeners, get those storyboards ready, because your opportunity to contribute to traipse might be coming soon. Darren, you talked about stories. You know, these historic business districts want to tell a story. And from my own experience of living in a historic downtown, there's a sense of branding. You know, these historic business districts want to brand themselves as a destination. And rightfully so. We're not throwing a random name on a neighborhood just to do it. Like, there's wonderful things happening in these places for our neighborhoods, for our local economy, where they deserve to be a destination. How does traipse help these different players in historic business districts, whether it's the tourist folk, the economic developers, the people working with Main Street associations, brand themselves as a destination?
Yeah. Well, I think just at least for now, the sheer fact of, you know, having stuff in an app helps brand them as being, you know, somewhat forward thinking and open to new technology and that kind of thing. But more than that, it's really, it just allows them to highlight the things to, whether it's to visitors or to their own community, the things that they're wanting to show. And, you know, in the case of Stanton, it's like farm to table restaurants, it's the Shakespeare Theater. And they have different audiences that they're trying to reach, obviously. Like one audience in Stanton is the annual influx of college students who go to Mary Baldwin University. And so they're trying to get them to explore the downtown and come to see Stanton as their campus. And so they have difficult goals, both tourism and I think especially downtown business development groups. They're trying to serve a lot of different people. They're trying to serve tourists. They're trying to serve their own merchants. In some cases, they're trying to serve elected officials. They often have competing goals and all of that. And so we like to think that our tool gives them the flexibility to do that, because it is, I think, an effective tool for a lot of different audiences.
Absolutely. And Darren, you use this term forward thinking in relation to TRAPES. And a second component, which is totally forward thinking with TRAPES, is the local tokens components. And listeners, I kid you not, this idea is all about a unique currency for your historic business district, which is super exciting. Darren, can you tell us more about local tokens and how it relates to boosting historic business districts?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I'll tell you first just kind of how that came about. We were approached by the Stanton Downtown Development Association about a year ago, asking if we had any ideas for how to improve or replace their existing downtown gift card program and downtown discount program, because they have been using just a system with a plastic card that you can buy and then use at different locations. But there were a lot of issues with that. You know, people like to give them as holiday gifts, but the cards themselves like didn't track value. So it was essentially like having a $20 bill. And that meant that if you took one to buy something that was $2, the merchant had to give you $18 in cash as change. And so there's like a lot of leakage or potential leakage there. And the Development Association was having to spend a lot of money to obtain those cards. And it was a pain then for the merchants to actually get reimbursed with them. Just lots of things that they're unhappy with that system. And so we were kind of pondering that. And then this past spring, back in February, I think, my wife, who is a kind of sustainable energy professional, came back from an energy conference where she had gone to a panel on blockchain technology and energy trading, and had met someone who created a token for his household that his children could earn by doing chores, and then, you know, turn in for privileges just to see if you could do it, you know? And I was like, well, if you can do that for a household, then why couldn't you do that for a downtown? And so started thinking about that and looking into different services or platforms for that technology, and ended up encountering a company called OST that is providing kind of a blockchain service to different businesses, and just ran with the idea and went back to the Stanton Downtown Development Association, and, you know, they're on board with trying it out, and it could be another thing that really helps put Stanton on the map. Obviously we hope it'll go beyond that. But I think that a lot of the challenges that local currencies have faced, and, you know, people have been trying to do local currencies for a long time for reasons of, you know, promoting local merchants, kind of keeping local capital in the local economy, and also saving money on credit card transaction fees. You know, those are all good reasons, but unless people have somewhat altruistic motivations in mind, there's too much of an inconvenience. Like there aren't enough reasons for people to just do it, to buy into that kind of system. And we think that through the technology, we can actually make it convenient enough and beneficial enough to everybody involved in the system to really take off. And so that's what we're going for.
What's your wife's name, Darren?
Her name's Caroline McGregor.
Shout out to Caroline.
Yeah.
For Brian traipse on to local tokens. That's awesome. What does this look like in practice? I imagine it also happens on their smartphone, like the games. Like if I'm in downtown Denton, how do I use these local tokens? How do I acquire them? How does that actually work with the merchant?
So we would kind of be under the assumption that whatever the Main Street organization or, you know, downtown, some local partner has signed on to using local token and that there's kind of a critical mass of businesses that would be accepting it. But the mechanics of it are really that there would be a local token app. It would be separate from the traipse app, but it would function a lot like, you know, a PayPal or something where, you know, the customer would have the app with their balance tokens. They would have a directory of businesses within the app that accept the tokens. And then when they actually go to make a purchase, each party can kind of initiate the transaction and then the other party confirms it. And so the merchant would just have the app on their kind of point of sale tablet, or they could even have it on their own phone and would process the transaction that way. In terms of how people would get the tokens in the first place, one way, which we're very excited about, is that people would earn small amounts of local token by using the traipse app, by completing tours and stops, and also contributing content for traipse. But then they could also earn tokens, for instance, by doing various other things in the community. They might be prizes at community festivals. They might be something that's given to all the freshmen coming into the university. They might be part of a hotel local stay package. The technology allows for an ease of distribution that, you know, lets you use them in a lot of different ways. And then the other piece that we plan to do is then if you are leaving an area where you can use local tokens and, you know, going somewhere where you can't, or if you've just had them sitting in your account for a long time, we would ping you with something that says, you know, you've got this balance. Would you like to donate it to a local charitable? You know, we've got a long ways to go in terms of all of that functionality and making sure it all gets ironed out. It's brand new in terms of the ability to do this with tokens, with virtual tokens. It's exciting. And we think we've got the right formula to make it happen.
That is exciting, Darren. And you guys have deployed traipse for, what is it, 4 or 5 years now? How long has it been active?
It's been active since spring of 2015.
Spring of 2015.
Yeah. That was like, we just kind of released a beta at that point in Stanton. We released version 2 of the app just about a year ago. It was September of last year. And that's when really we've started kind of ramping up in terms of trying to get new partners. And we've been doing a lot of events and things like that. So as far as the app being kind of what it was envisioned as, it's really only been about a year.
Cool. So Darren, since the beta, and I guess especially just this past year, have you seen any success stories from cities who are taking on traipse that maybe listeners are, maybe some economic developer listening or someone working at Turin listening, any success stories to motivate them to embrace traipse and this idea of gamification?
Yeah. So I would say that for now, those stories are largely anecdotal. I mean, we do have a growing user base. We have close to 5,000 people now are registered in the app, and we're in about a half dozen different communities in Virginia, as well as neighborhoods in DC. And it has really been about seeing people kind of experiencing things that they didn't know were out there. it's been fun to watch. And I would say that particularly in the case of Stanton, we're seeing more and more people, you know, show up and learn about the app and immediately go out and start exploring downtown. And we hear from business owners like, oh yeah, we had this group in here and they bought stuff. And we've had some great successes with conference groups and people like that who have worked with us to provide a really unique experience for their groups. It's great.
I have a good success story for you. Tell us about the Queen City Potter Party. I read about that on y'all's about page, and really captures the how much good can happen from traipse.
Yeah, and you know, we can't claim credit for that event. There are some great people in Stanton who make that happen, particularly Sarah Lynch, whose kind of vision it was. She's a local restaurant proprietor in Stanton, who really did this as kind of a labor of love for her son, who was really into Harry Potter. Was the third annual festival, and we've been involved with it from the very first one and have used it to kind of test out different things that we can do in the app. But we've had Horcrux hunts and fantastic beasts in the app. And with festivals in particular, the organizers have found it valuable to be able to include other business owners who might be kind of on outskirts, because this is something that really gets people out exploring and disperses the crowds a little bit, and gets to do if they're, you know, otherwise having to wait in a line to do something. So there, I think over the last couple of years, there have been at least 10,000 people attending that festival each year. And it's really a joy to see. I was not like a huge Harry Potter fan to begin with, but it's given me a great appreciation for that fandom and like, you know, what people are really getting out of it.
Yeah, that's awesome, Darren. Well, Darren, I appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us and all the good thing that's happened with gamification and traipse. To wrap up, and this is the question that we end every podcast with, how does this particular action, boosting historic business districts with gamification, make our town stronger?
Gamification in general is a way to hook people. It's a way to get people paying attention to things that they otherwise might not be motivated to pay attention to, and keep them coming back as well. And I would say with traipse and the traipse app, we haven't even, you know, begun to fully tap that yet, that potential. But I would encourage, you know, any community that has a story to tell and has, you know, local merchants who are starving for foot traffic or attention generally, to think about using games and scavenger hunt type things, puzzle hunts, which is what we call what we do, whether they be one-time events or kind of evergreen tour content like we do, to get people engaged and out and exploring and learning, and while they're at it, spending money at local merchants.
Beautiful. Darren, if anyone listening wants to connect with you or learn more about what's going down with traipse these days, where can people find y'all online?
Yeah, so we are at gotraipse.com, gotraipse.com. And you can reach me at Darren, it's Darren, at traipse.co. That's just .co. And yeah, I'd be happy to talk to anybody who's interested in bringing traipse to their town. Also, just generally about things that local agencies and organizations can do to get people to their historic business districts.
Big time. Well, Darren, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, and we will chat very soon.
Great. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.